Well, thank you, Mickey and choir, for leading us that way in that worship. That was a great time of worship there. This morning, we're going to be looking at a passage that Mickey just read as narrated. I'll read it again in the message. It's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We've been in Luke chapter 2, and we will continue there. And I've titled this message today as An Evening with the Shepherds. And so we're going to look into that. You know, this morning I like to, every Sunday morning that I can, I like to try to go to all the children's and youth classes just to say hi to them and let them know, you know, that we appreciate them being here. And as I walked in, and I would sometimes I look at some of the adult classes too. This morning as I was walking around looking at different classes, I was impressed with all the different breakfasts that were here this morning. Just special day there. And I told a couple of them, said, I'd like to be in your class this morning. Nobody offered me, but no, that's just kidding. They did. One of the adult classes, in fact, just said, come. They had just plates full of stuff, and they said, come and enjoy it. Enjoy it. So I really had a big breakfast before I left, so I did not get to take advantage of that today, but it was great to see that in the different classrooms and to see. I'm all for that food and fellowship in the Sunday school classes, and this morning was a great day to see that throughout. Just a lot of different things going on throughout the day, throughout the different classes there as well this morning, so I wasn't worried about that. Mickey hit me on it. Thank you. But let me ask you a question. How many of you here this morning do not have your Christmas tree up and decorated yet? Anybody? One, two. All right, a couple hands went up there. I didn't know if anybody would admit that or not. But, you know, it may be too late for this year, but if you all are still planning to get a tree, the two of you that have, if you're looking to get a tree, there are some things that you can look at when you're purchasing a Christmas tree, some kind of advice that I've put together, and I'm going to give you my top five signs that you're about to buy a bad Christmas tree. Okay, and I'm going to do this the way David Letterman used to do it. I'll start with number five, and we'll count them down there. Okay, number five: if that tree you're about to buy is 2 foot tall and 6 foot wide, you're about to buy a bad Christmas tree. That's not a good one. Don't do that. If you approach someone on the street who's selling Christmas trees and his first words to you are, you're not a cop, are you? You're about to buy a bad Christmas tree. Stay away from that. Run. Go somewhere else. For the number three, it looks suspiciously like a broom handle with a lot of coat hangers on it. Then you need to run. You're about to buy a bad Christmas tree. Number two, the number two reason that you need to watch out for when buying, you're going to buy a bad Christmas tree, is that every branch has a label on it, printed on it, that says Duraflame. Stay away from that Christmas tree. That's not a good Christmas tree for you to buy. And then the number one reason you want to watch out for a Christmas tree is it's very small and it has the words air freshener written across the front of it. That's not a good Christmas tree, so watch out for those. Well, our passage this morning, scripture passage this morning, does not have any Christmas trees in it, but it does have angels and shepherds. And so let's look at our scripture passage for this morning. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Some that we just heard and also sang about. It says, beginning with verse 8, it says, in the same region, shepherds were staying. Whoops, let me open my Bible and get this because it's going to be on your screen out of here. I forgot to switch it again when I printed my message off. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear, or they were terrified. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it has been told them. Father God, we thank you so much for this, your word, and pray that you would Help us now as we look into this word just a little bit more. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher and be our guide as we understand what you want us to learn today, this morning, though we've read this passage over and over and over again for years of our lives. You have something to teach us, and may your Holy Spirit have the freedom to do that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, there's, as with any passage, scripture passage, there's much that we can glean from this passage. But a question that, one of my first questions that comes to mind when I look at this is, would you have wanted to be among the shepherds on this special night? Now, most of us would say, well, yes, of course. But what about the very first part when the angel and that bright light first appeared to him? Would you wanted to be there on that night? Because I'm going to tell you, this night had to change their lives forever. It just we live not far from, when we lived in Ohio, not far from Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, and I got to meet him a couple of times, and just to watch him, his life was changed forever, and that's the way these shepherds would have been. Their life would have been changed forever, and we're going to see a little bit about how that happened as we look at this today. But there are three words, basically, that I want to talk about today, three words used here, or that we see here in this passage that I want us to look at as we spend an evening with the shepherds. Number one, the first word is terrified, or it said they were very afraid or sore afraid. But the word there is terrified. They were terrified. Now, what would terrify you? I mean, think about that. What actually terrifies you? What would terrify you? What does terror feel like? What does it take to frighten you into terror? Most of you can remember where you were at on September the 11th, 2001, though it's 21 years ago, a little over that now. I certainly remember where I was and what I was doing. But what thoughts run through your mind, not only that morning, but what thoughts run through your mind when you hear the details of the latest shooting on TV? I grew up just outside of Louisville, Kentucky, and frequented Jefferson Mall quite a bit. And you may have seen the news this week. There was another shooting at Jefferson Mall this week. And it's just hard for me to put my hands around that, to grasp that. But people all around our country and our nation feel many things when we hear news reports of these things. And one of those feelings is terror. We feel terrified. We feel terror in some of those things. Terror is that thing that suddenly brings panic or shock or alarm to you. I remember shortly after Pam and I moved back here to Kentucky. We'd been away for 20-some years. And we moved back, and I was hunting. One of the first couple years that I was here, I was hunting on one of my brother-in-law's farms in Marion County. And I was up in a tree, you know, I had a tree stand, I was up in a tree, and I was just inside a little bit of a big cedar thicket and cedar area, and I could see out of the little opening, there's a cedar tree not far from me, about 20 yards away, 25 yards away, and I heard or saw something moving. I thought, okay, so I stood up, got ready for what was coming through there, and this was on the back part of his farm. There's other farms that joined it, nothing else around, and what I saw was a black boot underneath that tree. Just for those of you that don't hunt, deer don't wear boots. They don't. And so I thought, what is this? There's nobody supposed to be out here. There's nobody else on this farm but me. And this is way back. It's at least a half mile from my brother-in-law's house, and there's nothing else around for at least a half mile in any direction, probably farther. And I watched as that boot and the second boot appeared, and I watched a man walk out underneath and walk there. And I'm thinking, what is this? Somebody that's just squatting back here or doing something back here, you know, that he's just living on my brother-in-law's land? I didn't know what was going on. But I didn't do anything. Didn't know what to do, really. I just waited till he actually came into that thicket where I was at, and he walked right under my stand. I waited till he got right underneath my stand, and I just said one word. Hey! The look on his face was terror. And so I know what that looked like. Now, he was actually one of my brother's neighbors. His cattle got out and got over on my brother-in-law's farm, so that's why he was there. But that was terror on his face that morning. I'm sure that he remembers that morning well, too, when I did that to him. And when the angel first appeared to the shepherds on that night, Scripture says the shepherds were terrified. They were alarmed. And now, I don't know about you, but if I was outside on a dark night and thought there was no one else around me but me and a bunch of sheep, maybe a couple of my friends are back over here somewhere, and then all of a sudden there's someone standing right in front of me, talking to me, I have no idea how they got there or where they came from, that did not expect them to be there, that would probably bring shock or panic to me. And not only was someone standing in front of them all of a sudden, it was an angel, And Scripture says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's like a terrific bright light, brighter than it's been said is brighter than anything you and I've ever seen. But here's what we have to remember is these shepherds, you know, you and I can go out, and we live out in the country, some of you do too, and you can look out and you can see, not the lights, but you can see on the horizon, you just see this glow. And you know, there's a city or a small town there. They couldn't see that. They never seen anything like that even, because the only night light they knew of was a candle or a fire or a torch if they carried a torch. And so they never knew of anything like a light, or even a flashlight or a headlight on a car. And so to all of a sudden have this bright light around you and somebody standing there speaking to you, that would have been terror. That would have been terrifying to have that experience there. And that's what was happening. And so they'd never known this. And I'm sure that to me, that's what terrified. Sounds like a good word for my anticipated reaction in that type of situation anyway. Now, in all of our lives, in each one of us, in all of our lives, things come that bring forth about fear and terror. There are things in our lives that just happen, that just do that, that bring about fear and terror. When God calls you to something new, it's not uncommon to feel uncomfortable. It's not uncommon to feel some of these same feelings that the shepherds felt that night. When God calls you to something new, to something different, it's not uncommon to feel shock, to feel panic, to feel alarm, or to even feel fear. These are all common emotions. They're common emotions. You know who created those emotions? God did. So we know that even those emotions can be used for our good. God can use them for our good. Acts chapter 9 tells us of the story of Saul's conversion, who was persecuting Christians. In verses 3 and 4, it says that suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground. Again, this bright light is similar to the one that the shepherds experienced on their night in Luke chapter 2. The glory of the Lord shone around them. It's been described as possibly a brighter, wider, greater light than you and I have ever experienced or could experience. And yet, though it was that bright, the shepherds could see distinctly the angel standing in that light, speaking to them. Terrified. They were terrified. I understand that. And what about Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents-to-be? Luke 1:29 says that Mary was very troubled when she heard and learned of her role in this wonderful story. Now, this word, the word troubled there, could mean several different things. However, the angel immediately said the exact same words she told the shepherds: do not be afraid. So I believe what she felt was some of the same things that the shepherds felt that night. You see, experiencing some of the attributes of terror and fear are common. And it should be expected when God reveals Himself or His plan for you. It's okay to feel those things. Throughout the Bible, read throughout the Bible, you'll see, you'll read of fear and trembling, of shock coming on the people whom God approaches to do His work. And I believe this is what God expects us. I believe this is the way God expects us to react. God would not come to you with something so significant if He thought you were going to say, "Oh yeah, God, I saw something like that on TV one time. Let's do it." It don't work that way, folks. God is supernatural. You are not. You should feel fear, and you should feel some of those emotions when that happens. It's okay to feel these, to have these feelings when God speaks to you and reveals Himself or His plan, His desires for you. It's okay to feel those. It's natural. Because we're natural, God is supernatural. And the great thing about this is that you can be assured that if you follow God's plan in obedience, there is always a proportionate blessing on the other side of your obedience. And you're going to see that even here this night, what that is in just a few minutes. The shepherds were terrified at this amazing sight, at what was going on, what was happening in front of them. And you and I would have been terrified just the same as they are. And look at what happens next. Not only were they terrified, the next thing, the second point I want us to see this morning, the second word, is expectations. First, the angel calmed their fears and said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." In all of our fears and all of our trepidations, we can trust God and we can trust God's assurance and His comfort when He says, "Do not be afraid." If God says, "Do not be afraid," then you and I have nothing to fear. Do you believe that? A couple of you say you do. You know, it's not as easy to swallow, though, is it? That's not an easy thing to swallow. When God says, fear not, do not be afraid. But God, you don't know what I'm facing. He does know what you're facing. But we need to face it in His power, not in the flesh, even though we live in the flesh. So that those are expectations. If God says, do not be afraid, then we have nothing to fear. That's not always easy to swallow, to take in. Yet when God brings something our way, we should know that He has our back. When God brings us into something, we should know that He's going to carry us through. Some of you have gone through some pretty horrible experiences, even in this past year. Some with medical things. Even I did some of that myself with the Bell's palsy. But some of you have had your own experiences, and you've had those experiences. But we understand that if we trust God in all things, no matter how desperate or how bad the situation seems, we know that God will carry us through. And He has carried us through 2022. The angel, after calming them down, calming their fears, then proceeded to give them a report to the shepherds, a proclamation, you might say. He says, don't be afraid. Look, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. Now, of all the people in the world, even of all the Jewish people in the world, and all the people that had just come to Bethlehem for this one night, for this census taken, all the Israelites who had just come there, of all the many people that were in Bethlehem that night, God chose this small group of common people. Not the rich and the famous, not the wealthy, not even the church people or the church leaders or anybody. We don't know, they probably were tabernacle people, temple people. But God chose this small group of common shepherds to deliver this greatest news of all times proclamation. You know, I was this morning going through this, just praying through some of this again and thinking, if I were in Bethlehem that night, or let's change, let's put it to today. If the Savior of the world was not born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but was born on December the 24th in Paris, Kentucky, would you be one of the few that God would say, hey, I want you to go see this thing? Think about it. Of all the people that were in Bethlehem that night, of all the people that could have been in Paris, Kentucky on that night, would you be one of the four or five that God says, I want you to experience this one thing? See, no one else got to experience it. What the shepherds got to experience that night. This greatest of all times, proclamation. This is the Savior that we talked about and Mickey talked about and we've sang about all this month. But that this Savior that the Israelites had been waiting for hundreds of years. Every generation, for more than 400 years, had longed for this thing to happen in their lifetime. And immediately after giving the proclamation, the angel gives the shepherds instructions on how to find the Christ child. In verse 12, the angel says, this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Now notice, the shepherds didn't ask, now how will we know? The shepherds didn't ask, how do we get there? The shepherds didn't ask, so what do we do about all this? Shepherds didn't ask anything. The angel just said, here's a sign for you. You're going to find the baby. He's going to be wrapped like this. He's going to be lying in a manger. The shepherds didn't ask, but the shepherds did go. And they went straightway, it says, to find this Christ child. You see, folks, when God comes with a message, there are always expectations. When God comes to you, whether it's through a service, whether it's in your private life, wherever it's at, when God comes with a message, there are always expectations on you to move forward, to do something. There are always expectations that come along with a message. And the shepherds did not need to be told, hey, this is what God expects of you. Notice the angel never said that. Didn't have to. There's always expectations, and the shepherds did not need to be told what to do next. In fact, the angel gave instructions on how to find the child without saying that you must go. He didn't say, go find the child. The angel just said, here's what you're going to see. Here's how you're going to know. The angel gave these instructions because the expectation was the shepherds were going to go. Because God had given them a message. God was sharing something with them that was special. And it says, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And you know what they did? The very next word says, they hurried off. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. See, they found the baby Jesus lying in the feeding trough exactly as the angel had told them they would. There was no mistaking it. This was definitely the Christ child that the angel had proclaimed. And there was no doubt about the origin of the messenger who gave them that, brought them that message either. These were angels, or angel and angels sent from God. And they said, that we know that it is that way because they said, let's go straight to Bethlehem. Let's wait till morning when our next shift comes on and we get to leave here because these are hired hands. When the next shift comes on, let's go and see. They didn't do that. Let's go straight. Let's go right now. Let's just leave and go. They were convinced. They were convinced of what was going on. No other explanation was needed. And the shepherds were convinced this was, and they were, a part of something bigger than big. They were something, a part of something larger than life. Something happening from God that night. This was undoubtedly an act of God. They knew it. The expectation was there. This was a divine appointment for the angels. I mean, for the shepherds. So much so that they risked losing their job. Except they were hired hands. They weren't the owners of these sheep. They were hired hands. So they were paid to stay there. And the shepherd had to stay with the sheep until someone relieved them. Could not leave. Sheep are known to be what we call, what they say, are dumb animals. It's just not that they're dumb, but they just don't have any sense of what's going on or anything around them. They just wander. And so they weren't to leave, but they left their sheep. They left their job. They risked losing their job and losing their only source of income for their family, which was a very meager income for shepherds. But they left to follow the expectations of God. They left to follow the expectations of God to see the Christ child. Nothing else mattered to them in that moment. They had to go and see. And I wonder, one of the things I've thought of this week, thinking through this, is what do you and I allow to stop us from following in obedience to God? Would you risk losing your job for Jesus? It's easy to sit there and say, oh yeah, I gotta do that. But if it came down to it, and your boss came in and asked you to do something that you know is strictly against God's word, what would you do? You know, what do we do? What do we allow to stop us from following in obedience to God? I could start naming things, folks. I don't know that I want to do that this morning. But, I mean, what do we allow? TV, internet. You know, I've named some of those things before. Kids' sports. Events going on at work or events going on in the community. But we're doing that for God. Or God called us to do this. Or God called us to raise our family. Did he call us to do that? Or are we using that as our excuse? What do we allow to stop us from following in obedience to God? What would it take in your life for God to get your attention, your fellowship, the way these shepherds followed that night? Because they immediately left risking everything, dropped it all, to go see this wonderful thing that God had put in front of them. And these few shepherds, who were considered the lower class of uneducated citizens, were the only ones that God chose to share in this wonderful experience on the night of our Savior's birth. See, God, we know this. God does not always choose the rich and the famous. He does not always choose or select the powerful. However, he does empower those whom he selects. And he empowered the angel or the shepherds on this night. When God calls you to something and he reveals something to you, he will provide everything you need to get you through to accomplish what He's called you to do. He will see you through no matter what you think, no matter what others think, no matter what kind of fears come your way. This group of shepherds were the only ones with a personal invitation from God to go to the stable the night of the birth of Christ, Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, there was fear earlier, but where's the fear now? They didn't even fear losing their job. They didn't fear losing everything that they knew about what their life was about prior to this night. That fear was gone. The expectation was, we're going. And they went. And the third point, the third word this morning is proclamation. Proclamation. The angel proclaimed the birth of Christ to the shepherds. We've already read about that one. The birth of Christ to the shepherds out in the field. But the shepherds left immediately to see this wonder of God. That was the expectation, was that they were going, and they went. And then after they had spent some time, we don't know how much time they spent there, we don't know what time they actually went and what time they left, but apparently the city was starting to wake up when they left, about what we can tell by Scripture. After they left, the presence there in the stable and Christ's presence, they openly began proclaiming the birth of the Christ child to everyone they could tell as they were headed back out into the field. It said they were telling everyone. Everyone was amazed, it said, about, was in wonder with what was going on, what they were saying. Seeing the baby Jesus lying in that feeding trough of a stable with other animals. We don't know what other animals might have been there. You see, folks, seeing that baby Jesus, that was their blessing on the other side of their obedience to go and do what God had called them to do. That was their blessing, the blessing to see the Christ child. One of only Mary and Joseph were the only ones that did. They got to see that night, the night of His birth. These young men experienced something that no one else in the world has ever experienced, except for Joseph and Mary. They were the only eyewitnesses to the Christ child on the very night He was born. And they could not keep it inside. They could not keep it to themselves. They went sharing it with everyone that they could find, everyone that they could speak with. Now, folks, you've been blessed. You and I have been blessed beyond measure. We've been blessed with so much. We've been blessed with something special. We've got the words they didn't have. We've got the Bible. We've got Scripture. But we've been blessed. We're blessed every day of our lives living here in America. We've been blessed with something special. And we've been blessed with, we are not looking forward to it. We're looking behind. We already see it already happened. We know that He has been born, that He has lived, and He died for us and rose again. What will you do with what you know? Will you be like the shepherds and go out proclaiming and proclaim the greatest news of all? I mean, how many of you have been to a hospital to see a newborn child? Anybody in here been to a hospital to see a newborn child? Yeah. And I see smiles going across people's faces, just the thought of that. And as you probably, whether it was in a hospital or you went to someone's house and saw that baby lying in this crib, or lying somewhere in the crib in the hospital, or resting in its mother's arms. And you probably have said at some time in your life something like, he or she is a special baby. Because we all say that about babies. But this was not just any child. This was not just any baby. This was the Christ child, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this was obvious to the shepherds when they first laid eyes on Jesus that night in the stable so long ago. You see, they had heard it from the angels, but now they saw it with their own eyes and they knew exactly, this has to be, this is not just some mistake. Wait a minute, is there another baby around here somewhere? No, this was it. They knew without a shadow of a doubt, this was the Christ child. This was a special night and a special child. The very night that Jesus came into the world, the first people to see Him, not priests, not pastors, not highly educated people, not the rich and the famous, not the royalty, but common shepherds who knew exactly who this baby was. He was more than special. He was the long-awaited Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And the shepherds wasted no time. They wasted no time to go see Jesus, but they also wasted no time as soon as they saw him. Now, we don't know how much time they spent there, as we said, but they got and they were leaving, and they wasted no time. They started sharing it and shouting it to everyone they could. They wanted everyone to know, because God did not want them to keep it a secret. God wanted them to share it. That was the expectation. They would go and they would see, and it wouldn't be the priest saying it. It wouldn't be the royalty saying it. It wouldn't be the kings or the governors saying it. It would be God's chosen messengers. And the shepherds went right away. And you know what they found? There was no line to get in to see Jesus that night. And I love that song that's out, and I use it. I'll probably post it on social media again this year. I post it every year. Where's the line to see Jesus? We've talked about it earlier this month. We get so wrapped up in wrapping presents or seeing Santa Claus and doing all those things for Christmas that we oftentimes forget. And the little boy asked this is a true story. I don't know if you know the story behind that song, but the lady that asked her dad to write it, and he wrote the song. She was in the mall with her nephew. And he tugged her on her jacket, and I forget her name, but he said, "Where's the line to see Jesus?" Because they just walked past the line to see Santa Claus. He said, "Where's the line to see Jesus?" You know what? They may not have him set up in the mall, but you and I need to be proclaiming just like the shepherds did, so that other people will see Jesus and will understand who he is. And this next week, I want to ask you, how will you recognize Jesus? How will you recognize Jesus as that special child sent to us from heaven above, from God himself? I want to challenge you this morning to step up. I want to challenge you to step up to the way that you recognize Jesus as the reason that you celebrate Christmas. Think about that between now and Christmas Day, and somehow with your family with this week or whenever. Just think about how you celebrate Jesus, how you recognize Jesus as you celebrate Christmas. What can you do to elevate how you celebrate Jesus during Christmas? Recognize him. Celebrate him. Not just on Christmas morning, but all through this Christmas season. Celebrate him. And like the shepherds, let us go out. From this morning, let us go out proclaiming the Christ child, the Savior of the world. Would you stand with me? I want us to go out today and pray that we'll go out recognizing that Jesus as the true reason that we celebrate Christmas and celebrate Jesus in greater ways this Christmas as we go out with him. Father God, we come to you at this point in our service. This is our time to come together to hear from you, to hear from your word, to celebrate you and to praise you as we've done in song and in prayer and in your word. But now at this moment, we come to the time where it's our turn to respond to what your Holy Spirit's been sharing with us today, to respond to what you would have us to respond to. For some, there may be a heart that needs to be softened. And I pray that you've been able to speak into that heart, to soften that heart. For some, there may be some who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They've never entered into that personal relationship. They don't know what it really means. Or perhaps they've done part of it, but they've not given everything over. It's easy to say he's my Savior, but is he Lord of all of my life? Lord, I pray that today would be the day that that would get resolved in the hearts of everyone in this room or those listening to me on other means. Father, we've all got things in our lives that we've allowed to sway us or to deter us from serving you in certain areas or certain ways where you've called us to. May we be like the shepherds. When we hear that message from you, when we hear a reason to do something, to follow you, to change paths, change direction, whatever it is you're calling us to do, may we be like the shepherds and move straightway, immediately, to fulfill what you've called us to follow you, because we know that you're not going to tell us, just shove us out there and tell us to go and do it. You're going to be with us. You're already out there in front of us. Lord, may we take on a new understanding of what it means in obedience and following you in all things, the way the shepherds did on this particular night. Father, we pray that you would have your way in our hearts and everything that we do, that you would have your way to help us to be everything that you called us to be, to proclaim to every person that you called us to proclaim to shine the light of Jesus every place in every corner of darkness, and may it start in our own hearts that we remove all darkness by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, whatever it is you're calling on us to do today, whatever it is that you proclaim to us today, may we follow in response as you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.